I was in elementary school, so I cannot tell you if I was the thimble or the top hat, but I do remember the only game of Monopoly I ever finished. I was in Tifton, Georgia, and one of the benefits of having your grandfather be the pastor of First Baptist Tifton is that even over Thanksgiving, when everything is closed, you still get to go to the Family Life Center to shoot basketball or play ping pong or open up a game of Monopoly. And I remember it took forever. We went home and back more than once. And I did not win, but I do remember buying my first property that day. I rolled the dice, and I landed on Boardwalk. And I had just enough, $400, to buy it. It didn't matter. I only had $20 left. It was Boardwalk. And for the rest of the game, anytime someone rolled the dice on that side of the board, I mentally started to count the paces, hoping they would land on my property and owe me money. It doesn't matter how many properties you own, there's always that point in Monopoly where you almost run out of money, and all you want to do is pass go and collect $200. It is interesting, though, isn't it, that in order to win the game, you have to take everybody else's money from them. And we find a very different scenario in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve are surrounded by the grace of God. They have everything that they need. It's why God said to them, "You don't need to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There are plenty of other trees. You don't need everything because you have enough." But the serpent, oh, rather crafty. The serpent said, "If you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will not die." And the serpent was not lying. And then it said, "If you eat of this tree, your eyes will be opened. You will see the difference between good and evil." Again, the serpent did not lie. And then Adam and Eve ate from that tree. Their eyes were opened. They saw the vast difference, the gap between good and evil. And they needed to cover up, because it was too much to bear. And they had to learn again that they didn't need everything, that they had enough. Adam and Eve were forced to leave the garden, which can only be described as the wilderness. Anytime the Bible talks about wandering or wandering, it talks about the wilderness. They had to navigate this different landscape. They were asking new questions. It was like the people of God when they left Egypt and they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and it's what it means to be an Exodus church, dealing with new questions, but knowing God is with us, and God's grace is enough. And it's the same reason that Jesus left those waters of baptism and entered the wilderness. It was a gathering inward before going outward. That those 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness were reminiscent of the 40 years the people of God wandered in the wilderness. And while Jesus was there fasting, he was tempted with more. That after 40 days of fasting, he was tempted to turn stones into bread. He didn't need manna from heaven. But Jesus said, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Well, then Jesus stood on the pinnacle of the temple, and he was tempted to throw himself down, proving that he was the Son of God, demanding more recognition and certainty. But Jesus said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Well, then Jesus went up to the top of a mountain, looked out, and saw all the kingdoms of this world, and he was promised that he could have it all. But Jesus said, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. That Jesus was tempted with more. But every time Jesus said, the grace of God is enough. And after this gathering inward, recognizing God's grace, it was time then to go outward, to begin his ministry, to share this grace with others. Whether we are in a garden or out there in the wilderness, we have a choice. Whether to see this world through the lens of plenty or through the lens of want. That there is either the grace of God all around us, and God has given us enough, or God has left something out, and there is not enough. And if we see this world through plenty, recognizing God's grace all around us, it fills us with this deep sense of gratitude. And we know that we can share that grace with others. But if we look at this world through the lens of want, where there is not enough, perhaps God has left something out, it makes us afraid. And we feel we have to cling to everything around us. About 25 years ago, I sat in Marketing 101. This big classroom, about 250 students, stadium-style seats. So everybody had a good view of the professor, who liked to walk back and forth like an endless tennis match. In each class, at some point, he did a little less teaching and a little more ranting, mostly about supply and demand and how to create demand. And one day he said, the key to it all is greed. And I stopped taking notes, and I looked around because it just felt odd. I had never heard anyone describe greed as a virtue. Not as something you needed to avoid, but as a tool you could use. It's seeing this world as if there is not enough. And it can rob us from seeing the grace of God that is around us. So we gather inward to see that grace again, so that we can then go outward and share that grace with others. When Robin Wall Kimmerer was young, she loved to go camping with her family. It was how they enjoyed time together and enjoyed the outdoors and learned life lessons. And on the morning when it was time to pack up the tent and to go home, at some point her mother always said the same thing. Let's leave this place just like we found it. And maybe those words are echoing in your ears because someone has said that to you before, once or 1,000 times. So they would walk around the campsite picking up every tiny piece of trash, no matter how small, down to the very last matchstick. But it wasn't just about leaving the place like they found it, because then she sent them out into the woods to start collecting firewood that they would leave at the campsite. Because the first thing you do when you arrive to a campsite is you fan out and you collect firewood. That this was a gift for the next person. That as we gather inward and we see again God's grace that is all around us, we then go outward in order to share that grace with others in 1,000 different ways. One way is the Global Ministries offering. Its trajectory is going outward. A list of partnerships locally, regionally, and globally. That since there is enough for us all, it is one way that we offer a gift for others. Amen.